Pain in the Morning, 7:15, Wednesday. A lot of private Idahos out there. Potato heads, cement heads, block heads, chowder heads. The next hour, we're going to be telling you all about them. And a lot of these people have dominion over us as leaders. How do these people get elected? I don't even know. Shout out to all the folks out there. Patreon.com/TruePundit. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit on the video podcast. We appreciate your support. Coming off the More Pain Show, that's for subscribers only as well. We appreciate the direct support. We're not supported by millionaires and billionaires. Supported by you. We are a grassroots organization, not a AstroTurf organization like most of the other medias. Groups on the left and on the right. And the proof is in the pudding. So without further ado, let's jump into the news here. We got a busy day. We got another podcast coming later today. At some point. By the way, it's our 100th show later today. 100th podcast. I never thought I'd make it past 20. They throw me off. I've been pretty mellow, though. I have 3 or 4 other gears. Hopefully, we won't get to use those gears because my top end gets a little nasty. But you never can tell. It's nice to have a couple gears to go to in times of need. Breaking news was we were one of the first people to report that Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg has been hospitalized today. We were one of the first out in front of everybody else. That was good. Sometimes we're on top of things. Other times we're distracted by other responsibilities we have, like the show, and we're spread very thin as it is, but we were good to get on top of that one. So keep an eye on that. That's a developing story. First headline, Fox 35 investigation reveals inflated Florida coronavirus numbers. Is anybody surprised? We talked about this last week. Fox 35 investigation released on Monday discovered an inflation of coronavirus cases by the Florida Department of Health. Sunshine State's health authorities misreported the number of persons testing positive for coronavirus and its aggregation and a publication of test results from laboratories. Fox 30... I'm playing this song because they keep sending these false reports up all across the United States, including from the CDC, like Levon selling his cartoon balloons. They keep floating these trial balloons and then using the false news, fake science, to clamp down on us. It's getting goddamn ridiculous. Fox 35 anchor Charles Billy explained the impetus for the investigation. He said, "We found numerous labs that are only reporting positive test results, so they show 100% positivity rate. That got our attention. 22 labs reported 100% positivity rates." Yeah, that sounds... The same people who put together the Obama election in Philadelphia where 120% of precincts were voting. Didn't seem suspicious at all. 2 labs reported 91% positivity rates. Florida Department of Health stated positivity rates and associated volume of coronavirus cases does not match claims made by the testing facilities. Meanwhile, the media and the crazy liberals are beating up Governor DeSantis, trying to get him to shut down the state again. Gonna have to go on the road and check this out for myself. As it's all across the country, this is bullshit. Thomas Paine Tour of America might be in the works. Not kidding. Why not? Get out there, do a little street reporting, kick a little ass. talk to people. I like talking to people. Countless labs have reported 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. In related news, everybody who has died of coronavirus will be voting Democrat by mail. Other labs have had a high positivity rates. Fox found that testing sites like CentraCare reported that 83 people were tested and all tested positive. NCF Diagnostics reported 88% of tests were positive. Yeah, this is stupid. That's impossible. How could that be? Those are astronomical numbers. The report showed that Orlando Health had a 98% positivity rate. However, when Fox 35 News contacted the hospital, they confirmed errors in the report. Orlando's health positivity rate is only 9.4%, not 98%, as in their official report. What? Orlando Health is making now cartoon balloons outside, just floating them up. Coronavirus balloons. Let's see if this bullshit floats. Let's see if this crap flies. The report also showed that Orlando Veterans Medical Center has a positivity rate of 76%. A spokesman for the Veterans Association said this does not reflect their numbers and that the positivity rate for the center is actually 6%. Fake math, junk science, sponsored and brought to you by folks under the Dr. Fauci flag. Folks went on to speak with the Florida Department of Health on Tuesday. They confirmed that although private and public laboratories are required to report positive and negative results to the state immediately, some have not. What the hell's the difference if you're fucking skewing the numbers like that? We might as well be selling cartoon balloons, floating them up. Disgrace. And this is happening all throughout the country on purpose. It's fake. It's concocted. It's part of the CoronaCon, the scamdemic. And it's a goddamn crime. And then they take this information, the media, and they browbeat politicians into submission. They got Cuomo out there shutting down access to more states. I think it's 22 from New York. The guy looks like, okay, the guy looks like he's been wearing a banana hammock at the beach. He's all tanned up. I can see him on parading around the beach with his ass hanging out, his nipple rings. The guy looks like a basted turkey telling people to stay inside. Have you been staying inside? He's like Kramer from Seinfeld. He's basting himself in butter on some rooftop. It's disgusting. Out there telling people how to live. Dude, back out of the sun, dude. You look like a leather couch. I think we're going to get to him later. I think I saw something on that dope later. Ohio County implements hotline for report on how to rat people out for not wearing masks. Well, whenever we say rat, we can only go with one song. Let me take a little drink. Here we go, round and round again on that coronavirus Lazy Susan.
Now, Lazy Susan, that's racist, too, to people named Susan.
Cuyahoga County, which houses Cleveland, Ohio, has created a hotline so that people can tattle on their neighbors for not wearing masks. Ironically, the county executive claims that they want people to wear masks voluntarily. That shit would never float at Jaga Lake. You guys from Ohio, I just surprised the hell out of you, right? Folks, remember Jaga Lake? We used to get liquored up out there.
Wow.
Cuyahoga County has taken Ohio Governor Mike DeWine's mask order to the next level by establishing a hotline that allows people to rat out others for not wearing a mask, which is now considered proper attire in the new era of the Chinese coronavirus. Not in my fucking house. Some may argue that I should wear a mask for the last several decades, but I'm not. You'll know I'm serious when I grab a gun and a mask and I head out the door. It won't be a medical mask. After joking, of course, everybody calm down out there. After a complaint is filed, county workers will then contact the person or business to inform them that they have been reported.
What a rat squad. From the beginning, the rats would end up winning. I knew right from the start.
You ruined the country. You took its heart. Yeah. Be proud of yourself out there, you fucking rats. Sheriff's Department could reportedly investigate or potentially file charges if the violator of the mask order is subject of repeated complaints. Great. Violating the governor's order is a second-degree misdemeanor punishable by up to 90 days in jail and a $750 fine. Republican governor. Another fucking dope. DeWine. This one's for you, DeWine. You're a fucking rat, too. Oh, here he is. He's back. I always hate to lose Rat, the Rat song. I like one of my favorite songs. I told you guys it goes back to high school when we plotted to kidnap the lead singer Rat because he was dating the girlfriend of one of our buddies from prep school that she met him on a Hawaiian vacation, the lead singer Rat, and she broke up with him, put together a plot to kidnap this guy from Los Angeles. We let off with the B-52s as well. Takes me back to high school as well when we were trying. We thought we were stealth. We were going to sneak out of school one night and go to a B-52s concert at Franklin and Marshall College. I think we were juniors in high school. We had this whole plan. We had tickets and everything. There's about six of us. We've been planning this for like a week. We got the tickets. We got a ride. Some girls from town were going to go with us. We had this whole thing set up. I'm going to sneak out right after evening prayers, I think it was. But because they weren't going on stage till like 10 o'clock at night. So about an hour before we were about to kick off our plot, Franciscan brother came in. Who was our live-in. It's kind of like our, really like our house father. He was like a father to me at least. And he said to us, "You guys can go to your concert tonight, but you'll be expelled tomorrow if you do." And he walked out of the room. He said, "It's your decision, gentlemen." And he walked out of the room. And we sat there for the next hour debating what we should do. Should we go to the concert? Would they really kick us out? We decided not to go to the concert. That's all he said. He knew about it the whole time. He knew about everything that went on. That guy was unbelievable. Stand-up guy. Guys like that, they stick their neck out for you. And he knew we weren't going to go. He just came in and said that's all he had to say. So we got our B-52 story and my rat story, and we move on. Missed those high school days. You thought you had problems back then, right, guys? You had no idea what was in store. No wonder they call those the best years of your life. If you're lucky to be alive, if you were in New York State under the tutelage of Governor Cuomo, you might not even have a chance to make these kind of statements and decisions. I mean, this guy has killed a lot of people. 22 states now on the tri-state quarantine list as Cuomo ups ante with New York emergency order. This guy is the king. He thinks he's the fucking king. He's the They make fun of Trump for being orange. This guy looks like a basted turkey.
On your knees, dog.
Yeah, on your knees, dog. That should be the state motto now. In New York State. Welcome to New York State. On your knees, dog. And then bow down to the king. King Cuomo. We have King Cuomo, and the other day I nicknamed de Blasio Queen de Blasio. Because he's like a little bitch. Four more states were added to the tri-state's quarantine restricted list Tuesday. New Mexico, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Ohio. Delaware came off, no longer meeting the criteria to be considered a viral hotspot under New York standards. I think Delaware is barely a... meets the criteria to be a state at this point. All you guys at Citigroup from Delaware, that's a personal slight to you. I wouldn't take that standing up. That is... all the good times I had in Delaware. Hopefully they're not over. That brings a total list of 22 states. In addition to newcomers, the restricted states from New York include Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Idaho, Kansas. Wait a minute. We got a queue up. Where's he at? Let me see if I can find him. I just thought about this. On the fly. While we're reading this, it would be better if we had this, right? Bow down to the king, yeah. Let me read these again. Cuomo says you can't go to... Cuomo says you can't go in the restricted states. All these states. It reminds me of something. He says you can't go to... In addition to the other states we just talked about, you can't go to Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Idaho. It goes on and on and on. Does it remind you of something?
You know something? You know something? If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah! Yeah! Back the White House. White House! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! I could do this all day.
Yeah!
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 This nut. This is what Cuomo sounds like. You can... In addition, the states are Mississippi, North Carolina, Nevada, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. We went to the video on that for the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. The famous Dean Scream from July 19th, 2004. Front runner for the presidency. Down the drain.
Mexico! We're going to California and Texas and New York! And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan.
This is like Cuomo. He's the Howard Dean of coronavirus. Travelers from those 22 hotspots landing at New York airports must fill out a form that state officials will use to ensure they isolate for 14 days. Instead, you just fly to Philadelphia and drive to New York, rent a car. You don't get harassed by anybody. Or fly into Newark, rent a car. Drive 6 miles across the bridge, New York. Why play by these idiots' rules? I land a plane. You know what? It's none of your fucking business where I'm going, where I've been. Get the fuck out of my way. You might end up getting stuffed in an overhead compartment. It's bad enough now. Before you take off, you get felt up. Like you're a guest at the Clintons' house in Chappaqua. You get molested at the airport. Now when you get back, you have to fill out paperwork. Go fuck yourself. How about I don't fly? Guess what? If I got to go on a trip, I get in the car. You got to go to California? Cool, I'm driving. John Madden style. Screw you. Now you don't know where I'm at. I'm a ghost now. Maybe I put my cell phones on a fucking Greyhound, Alabama, and I'm headed out to New Mexico. Surprise. I don't play by these people's rules, and neither should you. At this point, too, why does anybody need to fly for business? For the last 3 months, you've done just as much business effectively over Zoom and video conferencing and teleconferencing. Fuck the airlines. There's no reason to go meet with people in person. You can't take them out and entertain them anyhow. Listen to this. Failure to fill out the form, which asks for contact information before leaving the airport, could result in a $2,000 fine and mandatory quarantine. It's tough tracking down Bugs Bunny. I don't know what's going on. One guy signed it as Bugs Bunny. This other guy sounded as Elmer Fudd. How do we contact these guys? Airlines will provide the forms to passengers prior to or upon disembarking flights to New York. Enforcement teams will be stationed at airports statewide to meet arriving aircraft at gates and request proof of the form's completion, Cuomo said. This shithole state, this toilet bowl of a state, is already $7 billion in the red. Now they're going to dispatch enforcement teams to airports to shake down people to try to score an extra $2,000 from them. Get the fuck out of here. Fly into New Jersey, fly into Connecticut, fly into Philadelphia, whatever. Take a car up there. They can't put everybody outside Port Authority, the bridges, and do this shit. Oh, look at this. Wait a minute. I was wrong. They're going to try it anyhow. Out-of-state travelers coming to New York by train, bus, or car are required to fill the form out online. Y'all get right on that. I'll fill the form out online. I'll be the guy, last name you, first name fuck, when you want to look it up. And I'll say, what are you talking about? I filled out the form. Oh, yeah, under my alias, fuck you. These people are insane. Cuomo is a criminal. He killed a lot of people. It's a fact. It's a fact. Any competent U.S. attorney could put a case together for manslaughter. Seriously. Or something less than that, but definitely a felony charge. For what he and Murphy did in New Jersey, and also Dopey Teen Wolf, Tom the Teen Wolf in Pennsylvania and other places, Newsom, there's other places too, Tennessee, I think. I mean, the list goes on and on. But William Barr, now that Golden Corral is closed in Country Buffet, he just hasn't been himself. So don't expect anything from him. I talked about this next story for several months now. People who've been following me that will resonate. I'm not patting myself on the back. This is just being in finance at Citigroup for 10 years as I was. You understand these patterns. They never go away. They come and go. There's ebb and flow. Tsunami of evictions could make 28 million Americans homeless this summer. This is Madness. Also, the name of the band is Madness. Our House. You remember this song? I think the lyrics go, "Our house in the middle of the street." I mean, I think that's going to become a literal interpretation. The people are literally going to be in the middle of the street. God forbid, but I mean, where else are they going to go? This story only deals with evictions. It doesn't even deal with foreclosures, which are going to be equally alarming. Our box in the middle of the street. That's If you lived in the middle of the street or under an underpass, they'll probably still charge you property taxes. Our house. All those payments you made, all the times you broke your ass, trying to make rent, trying to pay your mortgage, none of it's going to fucking matter. It's all out the window. Thanks to your quote-unquote pandemic. Kiss my fucking fat-ass pandemic. So full of crap. You're going to see this start to gel in August and September. I called this a long time ago. The country's come to Jesus moment economically is coming, and it's right before the election, timed on purpose, I'm sure, to screw up the election, slant it toward that bird brain in Delaware with the pandemic continuing to sink its claws into the United States. Economic conditions have also failed to improve for millions of people. As a result, nearly one-third of U.S. households, representing 32%, have still not made their full housing payments for the month of July. And with public health experts warning people to continue to stay at home, the slogan is taking on a perverse new meaning as humanitarian disaster looms for some 28 million people in the United States who are facing eviction and homelessness in the immediate future. About 19% of those surveyed were unable to make any housing payments in the first week of the month, while 13% paid a portion of their rent or mortgage. The numbers represent the grim fact that for 4 months now, a historically high amount of U.S. households have been unable to pay their housing bills, either on time or in full. It also represents an increase from 30% in June and 31% in May. Those are big numbers. Delayed payments in 1 month are strong predictor for missed payments in the next. It's about as honest as you can get. Apartment lists survey says indeed 83% of households who paid the entirety of their May housing costs in a timely manner. It did the same in June, but only 30% of the households who were late in May did so in June. This is going to become a big problem. Can't do anything about it. The groundwork's already laid. You can't shut the economy down, pay people $1,200 and expect it to tie them over. Most people out there are living check to check, man. Some people will claim that's their fault. Is it? Is it their fault? Is it their fault in a society where we're taxed through the nose every time we put on a pair of pants, every time we buy pants, buy a shirt, buy something, get gasoline, stay in a hotel? Everything you do in life is overtaxed in this country. So you took away people's manner to earn a living and earn income, gave them $1,200, patted them on the back, threw an extra $20,000 to $40,000 of debt under their shoulders, told them to have a nice day. And he did not expect this to happen. They don't care if it happened. As I said, it's you against them, them against us. The haves versus the have-nots. The haves don't care if they saddled you with debt, took away your means to make a living, ruined your business. They don't care about that. They don't care if you get kicked out in the street. They'll just come in and swoop in and buy up your place at a lower amount and flip it, make more money. Cha-ching. This is how it works. I'm going with a combination of coffee and water here. It's late. Been talking for hours on top of the day, on top of the More Pain show, and we have to keep it going. There's plenty of work to do. This is the fat, busy part of the week for us. and we embrace it and we move on. Emily Benfer is the chair of the American Bar Association's Task Force Committee on Evictions and the co-creator of the COVID-19 Housing Policy Scorecard with the Eviction Lab at Princeton University. The Eviction Lab. When I was working up in Princeton, we were in that lab every night. We were going to bars in Princeton. They're saying, get the hell out of here, you sons of... we created the Eviction Lab. That's where I first started working in newspapers up in Princeton on a regular basis. In an interview with CNBC, Benfer explained that the current public health crisis will see tons and tens of millions of people losing their homes in the coming weeks. We've never seen this extent of eviction in such a truncated amount of time in our history, she said. We can expect this to increase dramatically in the coming weeks and months, especially as the limited support and intervention measures that are in place start to expire. About 10 million people over a period of years were displaced from their homes following the foreclosure crisis in 2008. She added, we're looking at 20 million to 28 million people in this moment between now and September facing eviction. Let me go back. We're looking at 20 million to 28 million people in this moment now, between now and September, facing eviction. I said August and September were going to be ugly. And again, I don't think this covers to the full extent foreclosures. I hope it does. I hope those numbers do, because you add on foreclosures. Legal aid groups and housing advocates are expecting an avalanche of cases as eviction moratoriums and rent deferral moratoriums have ended in quick succession. I think today, tomorrow in Pennsylvania, I think, is the end of the moratorium. As of the moratoriums are lifted, county courts are facing hundreds, if not thousands, of eviction cases flooding in. In Memphis, local county courts saw a backlog of 9,000 eviction cases when hearings resumed last month. According to the COVID-19 Eviction Defense Project, one in five of the 110 million Americans who rent their homes, over 20 million people, are at risk of eviction. That's incredible. 20% by the end of September. These aren't simply low-income families, but people who fell on rough times recently due to the shock of the pandemic. And the number is expected to dramatically jump when unemployment benefits run out at the end of the month. That's why I said August, September. Nightmare. Foreclosures, big problem too. It's such a big problem. Here's what I think is going to happen, possibly. Understanding this swampy ass government, they'll need to quote unquote do something because there's a quote unquote disaster looming. So expect $1, $2, or $3 trillion more dollars out of your pocket to these folks, to these mortgage-backed securities, mortgages, and landlords to buy more time for these people to stay in their homes. In other words, more money for the banks and more money for the people who already have a lot of money, and no money to the people at ground zero, at the street level, who really need it. In other words, the government could or would end up backing these landlords and banks who are holding mortgages while not forgiving the debt of the tenants and the homeowners. Oh, okay, so you didn't pay your mortgage for 6 months? Well, you have to get caught up on that. We'll put that on the back end of your loan, or we'll do a forbearance project and you have to pay that in the next year or two. We'll split the payments up. And it's like, wait a minute, how are things going to be any better in a year or two? I still can't pay the mortgage. Well, then in a couple months from now, after we already cash in from tax money, from your tax money,
will end up throwing you out of your place or foreclosing on your place anyhow. But until then, you have a little bit of breathing room because we got paid off. What ends up happening then is the big banks cash in, the landlords cash in, and you are out of a job, out of a place to live, and out of luck. Because again, that debt is saddled on your back. This is part of a scandemic that we have talked about. This is a grift. It's a massive grift where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Way poorer. And if you've done well since your ancestors stepped off a boat coming to this country, now you're going back and being tossed back onto that boat so you have just as much as your ancestors had when they stepped off that boat into a new country, into a new world, into a new life. It's actually worse since they didn't have debt when they stepped off the boat. You do. You owe this money for mortgages? Guess what? That doesn't get wiped out when you get foreclosed on or kicked out of your apartment or condo or house. That ends up on your credit. And those people who are going to be backed, I would think that's coming through Congress, who are going to be backed, they're going to want their money too. They're going to want a triple dip. They can rent their place when you're out of it to somebody else, presumably. Tougher sell when everybody's in financial straits. They can rent the place, right? They get the money from the government, and then they get to pursue you, maybe even in court. This is a financial disaster, as I've said, for months, waiting to happen, and we are in the throes of it, like it or not. FNC's Hilton, either schools reopen this fall or give me my money back. I think he's been listening to this show. Take a drink of water. That's what I've been saying for 3 weeks now. Somebody's been listening to this show. A lot of people, actually. We appreciate it. Sunday, Steve Hilton, host of Fox News Channel's The Next Revolution. The Next Revolution. We have one every day. Sounded off on the impact of schools remaining closed in the fall amid the ongoing coronavirus scandemic. Well, I'm sorry, I mean pandemic. I always get those two mixed up. Hilton emphasized that schools remaining closed is harming the country's children and the economy, arguing that the science is showing the coronavirus has similar health risks to the flu. Steve, don't let facts get in the good way of a money-making grift. One of the biggest schemes in American history. Please don't confuse that with facts. Here in America, summer camps are closed and school plans are in doubt, Hilton stated. This is not safe. It's harming our children. Almost a third of parents say their children's emotional and mental health is suffering. Another third worry that it'll start hurting their children soon. It does. It does. It's bad. I talk to people with young kids, like 12 and under. Their kids are like freaked out. They don't know what to do. I think they did something wrong. Or they think their parents are like, you know. It's disturbing. It's hard to think what kind of a psychological impact this is going to have on those kids as they move through and past adolescence. This could be a scar. This could be a black cloud over our country for years and decades to come. I feel bad for this kids. Almost a third of parents say their children's emotional and mental health is suffering. Another third worry that it'll start hurting their children soon. It's hurting their education and their future prospects too. The evidence is piling up that remote learning doesn't work
especially for the poorest families and those in rural areas with unreliable internet. Perhaps worst of all, we're seeing a rise in child abuse. Beyond the impact on children, there's an impact on our economy. If kids can't go to school, parents can't go to work. These pieces of shit in D.C. sure have put a lot of thought into this little disaster. Again, they're all making money, but we're not. Keep that in mind. Follow the money. We believe in decentralization on this show, and we believe above all in people power, he advised. It's time to use it over the school's fiasco. If your children's school won't open this fall, demand your money back so you can find an alternative. It's your child. It's your tax dollars. Why should you pay for a service you're not getting? That's our new campaign. Reopen schools or give me my school money back. Take it to the courts. I would say I agree with him 100%, but it's my idea. And I'm taking credit for it, damn it. No, it's really a common sense approach. It's not, I'm just kidding around when I say it's my idea. I did say this weeks ago, and it makes a lot of sense because you are paying for this. You're not getting a product. Not only that, I'll take it one step further than Mr. Hilton. As I've said recently on this show, if you're not going to open schools, whether you do or not, you closed early 3-4 months ago. You closed 3-4 months before school was supposed to end. Where's my fucking rebate? You didn't have costs, operational costs for facilities and things like that. So where's the money? Don't give me that surplus bullshit because I'm paying for it. I want a rebate. You're open for half the year. I should have to pay half the money. Lawyers are going to be busy, including my lawyer, I think, before it's over. Of course, it's not a pain in the morning, or if we can't highlight a complete raving lunatic. Allegedly.
Crazy.
I'm crazy for shopping at Costco. Illinois Costco shopper spits in a man's face for removing his mask while exiting the store. A woman who claimed to be a teacher assaulted a man and spat in his face when he took off his mask while exiting a Costco store in Illinois, police said. Elizabeth Mock, 45, allegedly approached a 50-year-old man after he removed his face covering while leaving a Costco store in Mettawa, Lake County, according to the sheriff's office. These guys write little notes, like handwritten notes. This one, smartass, it says, she looks stable. Of course, you can see all the stories on True Pundit. It links to the stories, to the text, under the pain in the morning of the day. Police said Mock slammed her shopping cart into a stranger and told him to put his mask on because he hadn't fully exited the store. I'm a school teacher and I had COVID-19, Mock allegedly told him before taking her mask off and spitting in the man's face, police said. She left the store, but was later identified police who arrested her. Mock was charged with battery and disorderly conduct and released later that day, posting 10% of a $40,000 bond imposed by the judge. It's unclear if she actually had COVID-19. Isn't that one person you actually should test? We would test her, but since 100% of everybody we test already has COVID-19, we don't need to test her. She obviously has it because everybody we test has it. Yeah.
You.
Patsy Cline, right? Don't make him like that anymore. Jeez. All the great ones are gone. And what's left? Not much. Washington Post editor says Texas Rangers' name is violent and racist, and the name must go. Does this person have any idea what they're talking about? Who is this guy? You wouldn't believe this. Her name is Karen, too. Her actual name is Karen. Another liberal whiner. We'll throw a little Frankie Valli at your ass. A Washington Post editor said Monday that the Texas Rangers team name must go. On the same day, the National Football League's Washington Redskins announced it would do away with its 93-year-old team name. Washington Post Global Opinions editor Karen Ataya. Said the Major League Baseball team must deal with the violent and racist implications of its name. To know the full history of the Texas Rangers is to understand that the team's name is not far off from being called the Texas Klansmen. Ataya wrote in an op-ed for the liberal newspaper. If this cement head knew anything about sports, they would know that the New York Rangers are also... The name of the New York Rangers is also inspired by the Texas Rangers, the actual law enforcement branch in Texas. But this dummy is too busy ranting that she can't even do basic research. She could have gotten a 2-for-1. She could have gotten a 2-for-1 with her stupid story. Instead, she got a 1-for-1. Open the... The only press the New York Rangers have gotten in recent history. Ataya, who grew up in Dallas, reminisced about going to Rangers games with her father as a child, but said at the time she didn't know the Rangers were a cruel racist force.
They were a cruel racist force when it came to the non-whites who inhabited the beautiful and untamed Texas territory.
This broad's crying a lot. I think you have to be a whining, sniveling, looking for a good word here. Dirtbag, we'll use the word dirtbag. I haven't used that in a while. To work at the Washington Post. All my former editors, shout out to all my former editors who are at the Washington Post. I should have dropped a cinder block in your fucking head when I had a chance. I worked with you guys. You're not that good. I was in my mid-20s and I knew that. The fact that you're still in journalism is scary to begin with. I hope your lives are as shitty as they should be for spending this much time in a crappy industry. just me. Just reminiscing with some of the old clan from the newspaper. Texas Rangers were officially created by Stephen F. Austin in 1823 as a statewide investigative law enforcement agency headquartered in the capital of Austin. The Rangers stopped the assassination of President William Howard Taft and pursued such outlaws as Bonnie and Clyde. More than 120 have died in the line of duty. But they're racist. It's racist. They were mean to criminals.
They were mean to criminals, and some of the criminals were not white. This is an outrage.
We may have a big story on that tomorrow. Or maybe I might put it into the Big Wednesday podcast. We'll see. It'll be a national story if we get it together and related to things along those lines. Ataya, who said she's part of a Ghanaian immigrant family, calls herself a black Texan. She's looking for trouble. Okay. said the first job of the Rangers was to clear the land of Indian for white settlers. In the 1800s, is that what happened? I think she should check her history. These geeks and nerds who could never play sports are now using their little power to try and destroy it. Because they've always hated people who play sports and athletes. Because they could never get it together. You know why? It's very simple. Nothing to do with skill or talent. When I coached kids, I saw plenty of kids who didn't have an ounce of talent. But they worked hard to get good at something. And if you work hard enough at something, you will get good at it. It's very simple. Some kids have to work a lot harder than others. And other kids have buckets of talent. And they don't have to work very hard. But you know what? Talent's cheap. Talent's cheap. Will beats skill. These people never had the will to participate. You see the same thing with the geeks who are running these social media platforms. They have some kind of a pent-up anger that, I don't know, it's like they're taking it out on people. They get some power and they go crazy. They're power drunk. And she's definitely one of them. She doesn't even know anything about sports anyhow, because she could have thrown in the New York Rangers and had a 2-for-1. She's a dingbat. And for all the railing she does against the Texas Rangers, just a little side story. The Texas Rangers actually caught Bonnie and Clyde. It was J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI who were fumbling around. And Bonnie and Clyde were running wild and killing people. I know that's like a romantic story, the way it's been fictionalized and portrayed and changed over time. But they were cold-blooded killers, mowing people down in banks, outside banks, people getting caught in crossfire. They were killers. She was a killer too. Okay? The FBI was playing grab ass. They couldn't find these two, making mistake after mistake after mistake. It was two Texas Rangers who finally got them, tracked them down, and killed them. And guess who took credit? J. Edgar Hoover. Today on the FBI has announced, J. Edgar Hoover has announced the death of the famous outlaws Bonnie and Clyde. They had nothing to do with it, okay? Read up on your history and you find out that the FBI couldn't even catch these two bird brains who were milling around. Goes back. The problems with the FBI go way, way back. It's nothing new. This guy Hoover, the guy who was, part-time FBI director, part-time cross-dresser, a real winner. No wonder the FBI's all fucked up. Jesus. The premier law enforcement agency in the world. The fuck out of here. A Native American son of Redskins logo designer says it's not offensive whatsoever. Oh, well, I thought it was offensive. So now what? Isn't that what this bird brain geek was talking about? I can't believe the chick's name from the Washington Post is actually Karen. So funny. The Texas Rangers are violent and racist, and the Redskins, ooh. These people are, and the problem is we as a society keep curtsying and acquiescing, I guess is the word, to these people, listening to them. They should be ignored, to like children who want something at the grocery store, tugging on your shirt. You don't even look down at the kid. You're like, whatever, just leave me alone, kid. I told you you're not getting anything before we came in here. I'm on a budget. Sorry you want a fucking box of fudgy wudgies, but we're not getting it. So you can tug on my shirt all you want. But when we leave here today, you're not going to have your box of fudgy wudgies or your Captain Crunch. That's how these people should be treated, just ignored. But the problem is, they're in the media. This communist from the Washington Post and these other communists are driving the narrative because they control the pen. Don't kid yourselves, folks. The pen is mightier than the sword. When that statement is weighed through time, time and time again, it proves true. Over thousands of years. That's why information is more dangerous than ammunition. Or the most dangerous ammunition, I guess you could say. What's the song we have picked out for this? Oh boy. This is offensive, this song. Run DMC, Three Little Indians. I think that's probably seems like it's offensive. So that means we must play it. This whole thing is ridiculous anyhow. It has nothing to do with... Run DMC. Can't go wrong. The Redskins logo and the America that knows the Redskins logo today was originally designed in 1971 by Native American Walter Blackie Wetzel. Blackie Wetzel, that's racist. How can you have a nickname like Blackie?
We protest the name Blackie Wetzel. His name should be Reddy, shouldn't it? I mean, is that racist too?
Whose iconic image depicted John Two Guns White Calf, a Blackfeet chief, who also appears on the Buffalo Nickel. Wait a minute, that's racist too. White Calf, that's racist. That's a slight. Are you calling all white people cows? You sons of bitches, how dare... And Blackfeet chief, that's racist too. That's a slight to all feet. Blackfeet Lives Matter. Is that the new one? You see, you can do this outrage thing all day. Wetzel grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. Another race. Blackfeet Reservation's racist. And was eventually elected president of the National Congress of American Indians in Washington, D.C. He was instrumental in the Redskins franchise logo change from an R to the current depiction of a Native American. Wetzel's son, Lance Wetzel. Well, why let facts get in the way of a good mob rage, though, about changing a logo? See, these are all facts. These facts have nothing to do with the mob. The mob doesn't care whether you're innocent or guilty when they come to burn your house down. They're just there to burn your house down. Especially when they're paid to burn your house down. Now, Wetzel's son, Lance Wetzel, said the logo evokes pride in Native Americans and should be considered offensive. Should not be considered offensive. Not be. I'm just so used to everybody saying things should be considered offensive, I just omitted the word not. Although he understands the decision to change the team nickname, he believes the logo should stay. Everybody was pretty upset about the change, Lance Wetzel said. Everyone understood the name change. We were all on board with that. Once they weren't going to use the logo, it was hard to take. It takes away from the Native Americans by not using the logo. When I see that logo, I take pride in it. Okay, we'll just go on to the next song, Jan and Dean. I didn't click the button fast enough. One man show here, baby. I only got two hands. That's it. Jan and Dean. This is the time of year to listen to these guys, though, right? Put your mask on and go. Put the convertible roof down. Put your surgical mask on. Make sure you're 6 feet away from the guy next to you. Go cruising. Four masks for every car. Jesus Christ. What a country. What a country we live in. What's left of it. When I see that logo, I take pride in it. You look at the depiction of the Redskins logo, and it's of a true Native American. I always felt it was representing my people. Now that's gone. The Native Americans were forgotten people. The logo lets people know these people exist, Wetzel continued. If I were to change and it removed any derogatory feelings toward any person, then I think it's a win. I don't want the logo to be associated in a negative way ever. Jesus, you can't even. I don't know. Sometimes you're just speechless reading this stuff. It's completely outer limits. Where are we at? We're at over an hour already. Shout out to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We thank you again for your direct support. It goes a long way. We stretch it. We are all about the ramen pride noodles approach to news reporting. And our podcast is growing, and we thank you for that as well. I'm blessed at the response, and we are blessed at the response. And we have just one simple thing that we've been trying to stay steadfast with for a long time, and that's just tell it like it is and report the news. And sometimes you have to do that with a little attitude, be yourself. I think people are getting a better glimpse of me, my personality on here, and it's coming through the podcast. And like I said, I have two or three other gears that we don't even want to go to. We might have to, though. It's good to have those gears. Channeling little Jan and Dean, writing about and singing about hot rods, street rods. So we have another podcast coming later today, the Big Wednesday podcast, our 100th anniversary show. I have a couple of anniversary surprises in there. And then later in the week, I think later in the week, we're going to have some prizes. Maybe a Friday podcast could be a big surprise, as well as the Monday podcast. Let's see how it plays out. There are a lot of things going on behind the scenes, but I have a little bit of a surprise for folks that follow us on a regular basis, a change of pace. And I know it's crazy. It's the middle of the week. We're already off to a insane start, as predicted on the Monday pain in the morning, that it would be a crazy week. We're hoping that the pressure out there does drop one way or the other in your personal life, and that you can try to maintain some semblance. And in regard to that, I say thank you for listening and supporting us on those platforms that I mention all the time. You expect me to mention it right now, but I won't. Throw you a curve. And take care and God bless. We'll see you later today.